Galatians 2, today on Through the Word. Question, what if they made it up? The whole thing, the Bible, the gospel, all of it. What if Paul and the other apostles just made up different stories and different versions of the gospel? Some have made that claim. How about we let Paul defend himself? Back in Galatians 2, Paul is doing just that, defending himself as well as his gospel. Or I should say, God's gospel. That's the point Paul started back in 1:11. Paul says, "The gospel I preached is not something that man made up." So here's the deal. There were different versions of the gospel, and there still are today. There was the gospel that Jesus taught, and that same gospel was given to the apostles. They passed it on to others, but then other men came along teaching a different version of this gospel, which is why we have much of the New Testament, to get the gospel right and correct the false gospels. Paul is writing Galatians to rescue the church from one of those false gospels, a self-righteous rules and rituals gospel called legalism. But what about Paul? He wasn't one of those first disciples, and he didn't learn the gospel from those disciples. So did he have the right message? In chapter 1, Paul says that he spent 3 years in Arabia receiving the full revelation from the risen Christ. He didn't even meet the other apostles until later. But did he have it right? Was the message the same as that of Peter and John? That brings us to chapter 2, so let's dig in at verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem, that's where the first apostles were, with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of revelation set before them the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles. So after 14 years of preaching, it was finally time for Paul to set his gospel before the church leaders. What happened there? Verse 9. And when James and Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. That's it. They agreed. Back in verse 8, Paul emphasizes that it was God working through each of them. Same God, same message, just a different audience. Now, does that mean that all the apostles agreed all the time? Of course not. Their gospel agreed because it was from Jesus, but they were human. And in verse 11, Paul shares a little story, a disagreement between himself and Peter. But when Cephas, that's still Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. So here's what went down. Different year, different city, and Peter comes to visit Christians in Antioch. Peter was a Jew who became a Christian, of course. Jews did not eat with Gentiles, ever. But for Christians, all those barriers were gone. Peter ate with Gentiles just fine. But then some men showed up who didn't like it. They were legalists, Christians who said you had to follow rules and law to be accepted by God. And here's the thing, legalism divides people, makes one group better than others, and makes them judgmental. We don't eat with those people. It can be subtle, but it's deadly. It even got to Peter. He didn't agree with the legalists. He just sort of gave in a little. What's the big deal? Just eat lunch with Jewish Christians instead of Gentile ones. It's funny just what a big deal it is who sits with who at lunch. Reminds me of junior high. At my school, the lunch tables were a land of strict segregation between cool and uncool. I hated it, but to be honest, I judged the cool kids just as much as they judged me. The Jews and Gentiles in Bible times were split just the same, but something amazing happened in Christ. Everyone was united at church, all one in Jesus. That's the power of grace. But then the judgmental ones showed up, and Peter stopped eating with Gentiles, and others followed. So in verse 14, Paul saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. That's the key. Your actions have to stay in step with the gospel, and that means living out grace to everyone. Your actions preach. Where you sit at lunch preaches. Who you sit with and who you won't sit with preaches. Are you preaching grace? Peter missed it, and Paul corrected him, and there was unity again. Listen, Christianity is not just another lunch table clique. It should never be an us not them, judge everyone different group. I know that it can become that. It happens when self-righteousness creeps in, and it is exactly what Paul is fighting against. Then in verse 15, Paul preaches grace. This is the important part. He explains clearly how a person is justified. That's the key word here. Justified means made just, declared righteous and innocent. Justified is that moment, standing before the judge with wrists shackled behind your back, accusations hurled against you from all sides. That moment when the judge declares you not guilty. The shackles fall to the ground and you are free, just as if you'd never sinned at all. I want that. So how do I get justified? Verse 16. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. That's it. The gospel of grace. We are set free by faith in Christ. You cannot earn it, you cannot work for it, or follow enough rules and rituals to make you good and just. The rules and the law have the power to prove your guilt. The law puts on the shackles, but it cannot set you free. The rules can show you that you're bad, they cannot make you good. By works of the law, no one will be justified. There's only one way, justified by faith in Christ. That's it, that's the whole thing. Start to finish, it's faith in Jesus. Then in verse 17, Paul asks the obvious question, what if I sin? What if I'm just living by faith in Christ and I commit a sin? Is Jesus promoting sin? Taking shackles off of criminals to let them commit more crimes? As if the rules don't matter anymore? Absolutely not. I am a sinner. It's in me. And that's why I needed more than just correction and direction from law. Shackles were not enough. I had to die. The only hope for me was to kill the sinner inside and start over. And that's exactly what Paul says in verse 19. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. In other words, the law found me guilty and killed me, so I could finally live for God. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Aha! There's the gospel of grace. The law had a purpose. It pronounced me guilty and gave me the death sentence. I had two choices, wait around in this body on death row until it hit, or put my life on the cross, crucified with Christ. I chose Christ. Like Buttercup and the Princess Bride, I died that day. Paul is so emphatic about this, he says it three different ways. I died, I've been crucified, and I no longer live. So if that's true, how am I still alive? Resurrection. Die with Christ, and you rise with Christ. Back in verse 20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is awesome. I am alive because the Son of God loved me. He loved me. He gave his life for me. And now he lives his life through me. The shackles drop to the floor, and my hands are set free. Not free to sin, free to love. Just as he loved me. Read Galatians 2 today. Decide which gospel you will follow. Decide where you'll sit at the lunch tables. And crucify the old man with Christ. And live this life by faith in the Son of God.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.